beautiful expressions of the outpouring of the Father. And all of it was glorious. And my life was changed by all those expressions of outpouring from heaven. But I firmly believe that the outpouring from heaven that we're receiving today is even greater than those. And I tell you what God's doing. God is releasing heaven onto family. He is releasing heaven onto family. There's such polar opposites in our culture today. Society is trying so hard to raise up a generation that says that marriage and the institution of marriage is antiquated and is no longer relevant. It's trying to say that church life is antiquated and no longer relevant. And I believe God is coming in and God is pouring out the need and the hunger and the desire for family. And it looks like what we do on the farm, and it looks like what we do in the living room, but it also looks like what we do this morning here in our midst. Where we gather together and we come together as family. And we worship Abba Father, Papa Yahweh. And we come in as children, and we come in as family. You know, I look at the book of Genesis, and Adam had this awesome thing going with God, and they're in the garden, and they're fellowshipping and communing, and it's amazing. And yet, even in that glorious state, God said, that's not enough. Think about that. Even in that glorious state, He said, that's not enough. He said, Adam has a need to be connected with like. And so He created Eve. I don't think He had to create Eve just so they could have babies. I believe that within Adam was the capacity to reproduce. And God pulled that out of him and put it into Eve. But there was this need for connection. There was this need for family. And I see God so pouring His Spirit out on family. That's when I go to all these amazing places now, the expression that I come away with, whether it's, you know, if I go to Bethel and experience amazing moves out there, or Azusa Street or wherever, or to up to South Carolina to Hope Chapel, I always come back moved and overwhelmed by the feeling of family. It feels like home. When you guys were out there a few months ago with us and there was 6,000-7,000 people gathered together for 3 days, what did it feel like? It felt like family. It felt like home. And I don't like Dallas, Texas. It's hot for no reason, and the roads don't make sense. You know? But it felt like home. And the reason it felt like home was because family was there. And so I really, really, really feel like right now this great outpouring, and the outpouring that we're about to see on the church and on the kingdom, is not going to look like it did 20 years ago. It's not going to look like the great healing revivals of the 50s, although there will be manifestations and there will be healings and all of this stuff will take place, but it's going to be birthed out of family. It's going to be birthed out of God's kiss on the family. This morning, several of you are here because of the fact we're having a baptism service, and some of our precious kids are getting baptized today. So, so excited about that. And I always, as we're having a baptism service, I always come in and I'm like, God, give me a prophetic word. I love it when I can stand in the baptismal pool and God give me a prophetic word for everyone. But I feel like the Lord gave me a prophetic word for a generation today. I believe like the Lord gave me a prophetic word for a generation today, of which I'll claim to be a part of this. I'll receive it as maybe a forerunner somewhat in that. I refuse to default what God wants to do to the future generations, because what we do is we tend to kick the can down the road. And that absolves us from responsibility. It's easy for me to come to church twice a week, throw a tithe check in there, and say, man, I'm serving God, but then I talk about how great this next generation is going to be. I've been hearing about how great this next generation is going to be my whole life. At some point, it has to start with us. So I'm not kicking the can down the road, Regina. I'm picking it up and I'm taking responsibility for it, and I'm saying, goes with us. And what I'm doing is I'm helping blaze a trail for those that come behind me, for my children and for my grandchildren, for those that we're baptizing today, for our spiritual seed. Because I believe that there's an outpouring that God is going to release on us and going to release on them that is going to be absolutely, absolutely amazing. And the Lord gave me Isaiah 61. And I want to just read that to you and share that. My wife's looking at me funny. That's what you were in this morning. Amen. No coincidences with God. Can I say this today? If God's stirring and God's moving and we're all over the place, it's where we are. Some of you are first generation kingdom people. We were talking about that in the side room. And you're coming in and you're first generation kingdom person. You have a spiritual father, but in your biological, you're first generation. Some of you are fourth and fifth generation. But just because you have a Christian heritage, do not simply rest on that and say, that's enough and that's all that I need to have and I'll just continue the thing. I met a really cool guy, and the reason I say that, I met a really cool guy a few weeks ago from Illinois and I was talking with him. He was a fifth generation farmer, been farming 4,000 acres of family land for five generations. And I was just talking to him and, you know, we were talking about heritage farms and all of this stuff. It was really cool. And, you know, of course with me, we're talking about they raise corn and he's like, you know, he said, if you eat Doritos, you've eaten our corn. He said, because every bit of our corn on 4,000 acres goes to the Dorito factory that's about 30 miles away. And I said, man, that's cool. And of course, you know me, I'm going to jump into the, hey man, how's the hunting? I said, y'all got any bird hunting up here? You know, cause I'm trying to hook up a pheasant hunt or a quail hunt or something like that. I mean, you got 4,000 acres of corn, you got to have some pheasant. And I said, how's the hunting? He said, not so good. I said, what do you mean? You got 4,000 acres of corn on? He said, with all the herbicides and all the pesticides that we put on ourselves, make you feel real good about eating Doritos. But he said, with all the herbicides and pesticides that we put on our stuff, he said, they can't hatch eggs anymore. And I said, what are you getting about 240 bushels an acre? He said, well, we're actually going to maybe hit 250 bushels an acre. And the reason that I tell you this story is just because you're fifth generation doesn't mean you're doing it right. And I'm not knocking him, man. He's producing a lot of corn, feeding the world, you know, a little bit. Definitely not organic, but enjoy your Doritos. Isaac, think about that next time you put a Dorito in your mouth, brother. A pheasant egg will not hatch from this, but golly, that nacho cheese tastes good. There's a calling out to us to get things right. We use the term real loosely, and it's been flying around everywhere about organic. Getting back to the origins of what family's supposed to look like, what kingdom life's supposed to look like, what our relationship with God's supposed to look like. Do I think that the modern church has got off base? Absolutely. I think we've gotten so far. We're just like the children of Israel that came in with their synagogues and all of their sacrifices were jacked up and they missed the heart of God. And I think a lot of the modern church has done the exact same thing. And I believe there's a calling back to us as a group of people. There's a calling back to us as generations to get back into a place of intimacy and devotion and covenant and commitment with each other, with doing life with each other, with doing life with Him. And I believe God's going to release Isaiah 61 into us as we pursue this journey. I want to read this scripture to you, man. This is just some powerful stuff. And I really, in Isaiah 61, and I look and I say, what do I read and what do I leave out? I want to be time sensitive for everybody. I don't know why, but I do want to be time sensitive for everybody. But God said, all 11, read them all 11. So listen to this. And by the way, I've got about 15 points that I won't preach this morning about this generation and these kids, but it's contained in these 11 verses. We might start hitting that on Wednesday night. If you're not part of this body, listen to the podcast. It'll be good stuff. He says in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. This is the scripture that Jesus quoted as he began his public ministry, as he stood in the synagogue, and he released that. And he said, now is the time. Now is the time. I believe that, listen to what we said last week. I believe when the affirmation of the Father comes upon a son, he then has a voice and he has something to say. When the affirmation of the Father comes upon a son, he then has something to say and people will listen to what he has to say. We see it with Jesus and Father God speaking, this is my beloved son. Two separate occasions, immediately he says, hear ye him. And Jesus automatically had a platform. I believe that as we begin to pursue God in a place of deep covenant relationship, as we pursue family, as I get deeper into this family thing, the world out there is going to start looking to us and wanting to hear what we have to say. I believe in every realm, I believe every realm that we're in, that the favor of God is going to be upon us. You say, man, this is good news, and I'm about to read all of these verses to you. But I believe, Brett House, they're going to approach us in our work cubicles, and they're going to open their problems up and dump them on us, because something in them tells them we have the answer. They're going to look to us for resources. They're going to look to us for what makes your family so awesome. I'm celebrating 35 years of amazing marriage. Monday's my anniversary. Tomorrow's my anniversary. 35 years of amazing marriage. That don't happen. You know why the divorce rate is not over 50% now? Things haven't got better. People just aren't getting married anymore. I look around the room and I see a lot of healthy marriages. I see a lot of healthy homes. I see a lot of vibrant relationships. I see vibrant children that actually enjoy their parents and parents that actually enjoy their children. Husbands that enjoy their wives and wives that enjoy their husbands. They long for each other. They long to spend time with each other. They have something worth celebrating and not enduring. The time of enduring is over. The time of enduring is over. God's going to shift your hearts to where you don't endure the body of Christ. And I've been in those times. I've been where I've come in and I've been like, I was like Moses. God, they're yours. You can have them. Deal with them wherever you want to. And then sometimes God gets frustrated with y'all. And then He says, they're yours. See, do with them whatever you want to. I've been in those places. But no more. No more. I don't endure you, Nick. I celebrate you, Nick. I don't endure you, Brad. I celebrate you, brother. I celebrate who you are in Christ. I celebrate who He says you are. I celebrate this body and who God says this body is. I celebrate not just our precious children, because I'm around my grandkids all the day, all the time. Guess what? They got flaws. They got warts. Because you're around them, you know. They can be a pill sometimes. But I celebrate who they are. I celebrate the beauty of who they are. I celebrate the beauty of Judah White as he steps into that baptismal pool. I celebrate the beauty of who he's going to be. I celebrate and have a good news to release to this world out here that I have answers that you need. And it's not found in Sid Garner, but it's found in Kingdom Life in Christ Jesus. That's where your answer, that's where your strength comes from. That's where your knowledge comes from. That's where your blessings come from. All of it is, he's the gateway to all of this. And it's the Heavenly Father that's reaching out to you. And so I come in, what did I do in my body? Here we go. I come into this, and I look at this text, and he begins to declare that the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. I'm anointed. I declare this generation's anointed. I declare these kids are anointed. I declare, you say, oh, they're your grandkids. I declare Judah White's anointed. I declare Isabel's anointed. I declare her household is anointed. Look at what he says in verse 3. I'm about to get to some good stuff in here. He said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. I declare over them they're going to be agents of change. I declare over them they're going to be agents of change. They are going to be agents of life. They're going to be agents of blessing. I declare that they are going to be planted. They're not going to be nomadic. I want to tell you something. We're about to read this in this scripture in a minute, where he talks about us rebuilding cities, where he talks about us rebuilding communities, where he talks about us rebuilding homes. You have to be planted to do that. We all just want to float through life wherever the wind blows us and all that. I love to travel. I love to travel. But I want to tell you something. God's planted me in this place. And I've married myself to this land. And I've married myself to this house. And I've married myself to the people that come into this house. And it may change and they look different every week. And I've learned to minister to what's in front of me. But I'm planted to this place. I'm planted to Northwest Georgia. I am married to Northwest Georgia. Is it the most beautiful? Dude, I just left Montana 3 weeks ago. I hate to tell you, but it's not as pretty as Montana. But I'm married to this place. And it's not an enduring thing, it's a celebrating thing. I was out here on the tractor the other evening at 8:45. It was getting dark. There was a glorious sunset right over here. And then I looked right here and there was a full moon over the sky. And I was on the tractor. I looked to the west and I see an amazing painting of God. I looked to the east and I see a full moon rising in the sky. All in the same moment. And I said, God, You're glorious. God, You're beautiful. God, You're awesome. God, You have kissed this place. You have kissed this place. And I'm not talking about Victory Fellowship. I'm talking about this place. I'm talking about Bremen. I'm talking about Harrison County. I'm talking about Northwest Georgia. God's kiss is on us, guys. God's kiss is on us. And so I look and I read this, and these are going to be agents of change. They're going to be planning. I'm going through this real fast, but I just want to release this over these kids. Verse 4, and they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. That's the scripture I wrote on the wall of the little big man classroom when we built that. We had that put in and it had bare walls and we all wrote down scripture. That Isaiah 61 verse 4 is the scripture the Lord had me write on that. And that's what I believe over them. It's what I believe over these precious children right here. That they're going to be rebuilders. They're going to be redeemers. They're going to redeem the land. They're going to redeem it from the curse because of the blood of Jesus that's flowing through them. As they stand in His stead as agents of change, as agents of love, as agents of mercy, as agents of power. Man, there's some scripture in Isaiah 12 verse 3. It says that within us, listen to this is important. It says within us are wells of salvation. Within us are wells of salvation. And it says that Father God comes and withdraws from those wells and releases it. He withdraws from those wells. It's not, I'm Brett House and how am I feeling and what kind of my mood? Am I spiritual or am I non-spiritual? Am I ticked off at the world? You know, is Georgia looking good this year? Is Bremen looking good this year? How's business and all of that stuff? But I'm a well of righteousness. I'm a well of salvation. And God is going to pull out of me. He's going to pull out of these children. He's going to pull out of Zed and Kent. He's going to pull out of Isabel. He's going to pull out of Judah. He's going to pull out of them. And water the world with that. And water the desert places with that. Water the barren places with that. Rebuild the busted up cities. Rebuild busted up lives because of the wells that are contained within them. I believe that. That's a promise of the Lord. Some of y'all need to claim these scriptures for your life. I've heard Chris Vollerton say before that Isaiah 61 is his scripture, it's his word. I know why it's his word. Grant, I know why it's his word. I know why it's his word. I want it to be my word. I want it to be our word. I want to believe that over you. I want to believe that over Isabel. I want to believe that in the seed that's in your loins. I want to believe it, all of that. That Isaiah 61 is God's promise to me. God's promise to us. God's promise to His people. Somebody ought to be feeling it right now. Verse 5. Some of y'all are going to get a little weird on this because you got false humility rolling in you. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Does that mess with you? Strangers shall, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, brother. I'm not. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm a priest and a king unto my God. He says that I'm to be the head and not the tail, that I'm to walk in a place of blessing. And if He will spoil Egypt for His children as they enter into the promised land, then He'll spoil this earth for me. We just got back from Sturgis and it was amazing. Not that Sturgis was amazing and not that the work wasn't ridiculous and all of that stuff, but the favor was amazing. It was beyond our wildest dreams. Twice as much as we've ever done in a 2-week span. People come up and say, I've been looking for y'all for 3 days. Like, well, you found us. We're not that great, but we're the sons of God. I didn't tell them that, but that's what I was thinking. I just said, man, here's what I'll put on a set of handlebars for you for. And we will find favor, and God's going to come, and God's going to come, and God's going to come, and the world is going to come. He said, sit here till I make thine enemies my footstool. I want to be in a place of blessed status. We are blessed to be a blessing. I could do some teaching and preaching on that. You know how a river runs strong? Its headwaters stay strong with a continual supply. When the headwaters dry up, the river dries up. I want to be the mighty Mississippi because the mighty Missouri runs into me. I want to be this because all of these tributaries pour into me and they're kingdom tributaries, but I want to bring life everywhere I go. It's what the Word says that we're supposed to be. Some of y'all want me to, oh no, you just want to get to heaven's all you want to do. I'm believing for more than that out of these kids. I'm believing more for that than out of me. Out of my life. Out of our family. Out of our business. Out of our farm. I sat there baling hay yesterday, calculating. I wonder how many tons of beef we're going to produce to feed the world this year. Instead, it wasn't, I wonder what kind of paycheck I'm going to get. It's what, how many tons of beef can I produce to feed the world this year? We have to shift our mindset and realize that we are God's men and women on this planet. And He wants to use us in a mighty way. I believe God's going to do... My prayer for you is God, number one, y'all have an amazing relationship and you're everything that He desires you to be. But medical breakthroughs have come out of you. I've got a nephew that's a doctor, Ashton's husband. He's a doctor. I pray that the cure of cancer comes through him. I pray the cure of cancer comes through him. Why not? Why not? Polio got eradicated. Why not? Why not? Why not through the Spirit-filled sons of God? That He has put the fullness of the Godhead dwells within us is what the Word says. And I believe that these wells of the fullness of the Godhead, that He will come in and He'll draw these things out. You know, release them into the earth. I believe that there are ideas that are inside of me that are not in here, but they're in here. They're not in here, but they're in here. You're trying to draw everything out of here, and guys, you aren't smart enough. No offense, but you're not smart enough. I pray that He will draw ideas out of here. I said the other day when we were fishing, brother, I said the uniqueness in you, and the uniqueness has always been in me, is that you're able to solve problems. You're able to solve problems when they arise. Not if they arise, but when they arise, that you're able to solve problems. And I pray that the problem-solving abilities would not come out of here because that's a limited resource. Jessica will say amen and amen to that. But it's a limited resource. But in here's an unlimited resource. Because the fullness of Yahweh and His creativity resides within you. And I believe that over Zealand Kent. I believe it over Isabel. I believe it over Sidney Hannah because the Word promises it and the Word declares it. I believe they're going to have favor that's going to overtake them. I believe they're going to have favor. They're going to have blessings that's going to overtake them. And there will be a path that's paved by a father before them and a grandfather before them. But the blessings are not going to come from us. The blessings are going to come from the Father and they're going to overtake them. Let's look at verse 6. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. What are you speaking over your kids? We talked about this last Sunday, the affirmation of a father. He says, I'm going to name you. I'm naming you. Who's naming them right here? Father God is naming you. You shall be named the priest of the Lord. I'm a priest of the Lord. A minister to Him. minister to each other. We so get lost in this beautiful, glorious entanglement that you can't tell who's loving who. I'm just going to love on God. He's so loving. I don't know who's loving on who. He's loving on me and I'm loving on Him. We're just intertwined with each other. We're intertwined with each other. He said, I'm going to call them priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. The heathen. The men that are out there. The world that's out there. They're going to recognize something on your life. They're going to recognize something. A kiss on your life. A kiss on your marriage. A kiss on your home. A kiss on your children. I believe that our kids should be the brightest. I believe they should be the most creative. I believe they should be the most excellent in everything that they do. That is not a performance thing. That's an identity thing. Come on, somebody. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. My mom and dad used to try to pound that into me because I was content being like all the other guys out there. I actually wanted to be like all the other guys out there, and they'd be like, this ain't who you are. 90 don't cut it because that's not who you are. Being slack don't cut it because that's not who you are. He said, men shall call you. Men shall call you ministers of the Most High God. Whew. Somebody come on. Anybody believe in this for your life? Don't default to them. Don't default to your daughter. Don't default to your kids. Don't default to your grandkids. Say, I'm claiming this for me. I'm believing this for my life. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. I don't know about that, brother. That's it. I'm just staying humble. Poor sinner, say, but I'm not. I'm redeemed. I'm beloved. I'm pursued by Him. I'm spoken over by Him. You know what's amazing to me is we think better for our kids than we think Father God thinks over us. There's no thing I would withhold from my children, but yet we think God's holding out on us. So what you're saying is you're more righteous than God is. What you're saying is you're more loving than God is. What you're saying is you're more generous than God is. Think about that. Think about that. Any good thing will you withhold from that child? Nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. So do you think a God that is way more glorious and way more righteous and way more everything than us is going to withhold? For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. Double portion. You know why I believe God's going to pour out? You know why I believe God's pouring out on family right now and marriage right now? It's because the world's doing everything they can to tear it apart. We are living truly in a fatherless generation. So God says, I'm going to pour out my greatest anointing on homes. I'm going to pour out my greatest anointing on fathers. My greatest anointing on spiritual fathers. My greatest anointing on family. My greatest anointing on community. The power of the first century church is not that they had it rocking out and going this and this and this. Was it that they were the ultimate picture of what kingdom community is supposed to look like. Breaking bread in singleness of heart. Doing life together. The ultimate picture of that. They were the ultimate picture of that. And I believe God is pouring out today. He is pouring out today. A double portion. I believe that's His promise right here. Because the generation you grew up in, a double portion. Nick White, you want to claim that? You first generation, you want, because of your trouble, I'm going to give you double portion. That's what He says right here. For your shame, you shall have double. For your shame, you shall have double. For confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double. In their land, you're going to have a land. Somebody read this the way I'm reading this. It amazes me that we say we're going to redeem the land, but we don't want to possess any land because it's too much work.
I'll drop the mic on that.
I don't redeem the land, but I don't want to own a business. It's too much trouble. I want to redeem the land. I want to be the head and not the tail, but we just want somebody to send us a royalty check. I believe these kids are going to be possessors of lands. You know the only currency that remains unchanged, do you know what it is? Land. That's the only currency that remains unchanged. It's land. Lord, it's just a lot of work and this and this. God's desire for us, part of this home and family thing, that I believe God's pouring His Spirit out on so heavy right now. You know what part of that is? I believe there's a stirring in a younger generation that comes forth. And why do you think all these folks, man, they want to come in and they want to start up these little organic farms? People don't know how to farm, but they want to start these organic farms. They want to start all these little organic businesses. They want to open coffee shops. Come on. All of these little stores are popping up in these cool little places like Carrollton and all of this. And these people, there's an entrepreneurial spirit that is being released in people. And they want to do something with their life. I'm not saying you have to raise cattle, but you want to do something. You want to do something. I want to raise organic food. I want to have a place of refuge for people to come to. I want to have something that I can redeem this land, this planet that we're on. God built us for that when we get in proper alignment with Him, guys. God built us for that. God built us for that. And I don't want to just pray blessings over mine. I want to pray blessings over y'all's. I want to pray blessings over theirs, what they're going to have. I have a hard time maintaining what we got. You know what my goal is? To double it so they'll have a stronger launching pad. When they get of age, I don't want to have 100 acres. I want to have 200 acres. Because I want them to be able to launch into whatever they want to launch in. Jeremy, I drove by your house, I bet, 6 times this week on the tractor. Doing my 35-minute pull from here. I bet 6, 8 times. Kept looking for you in the yard, saying, I'm going to stop and talk to Jerry, love on him a little bit and all this stuff. But every time I go by, man, I'd look at your pastures and I'd look at your land. And I'm like, God, let it be fruitful. Let it be fruitful. Let it abound. Let the okra produce. Let the cattle produce. And let whatever, you know, whatever you got growing on the backside, let it all produce good, Lord. Speak blessings over that. Speak blessings over that. Because God's called us to redeem this place. And I believe that they're a nation of redeemers. And I am too. I'm not kicking the can down the road. All right, I'm closing up. We're about to get in a baptismal pool. Verse 8, for I the Lord love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will direct their work in truth. I, the Lord God Yahweh, we try to figure out the path, Brett. He said, I will direct their work in truth. He said, I will direct it. I will direct it. He said, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Verse 9. I like this. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Actually, I'll probably be declaring that over her when we dedicate her in a couple weeks. I'll probably be declaring that over her. I want to read this one more time. Somebody put a sticky note somewhere or write. I got stars, circles, and underlining all on that. Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. That doesn't mean our kids are going to get the most likes on Facebook. Get out of your shallow existence. Get out of your shallow existence. I want everybody at gymnastics to know who Sydney Hanna is, because she's a child of excellence. She's a sweet-spirited kid. She's friendly and all of these things. And I want everybody to know that she comes from a kingdom home. What is it about her? What is it about her? What is it about them? Their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them. They are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. You know what I want the Lord to see, or the world to see about us? I want them to see God's kiss on my life. I want them to see God's kiss on my life. I want them to see God's kiss on your life. I want them to see God's kiss on your life. Because they will acknowledge and say, she's the seed that the Lord has blessed. He is the seed that the Lord has blessed. He is God's favorite. You got that right, I am. Sorry, Stephen, I'm the favorite. I know Mom doesn't say that to you, but I'm the favorite. I know. You're the favorite too. That's the thing. You know, here's the thing. People, you know, they say, you got five grandkids. Which one's your favorite? The one I'm with. The one I'm with. That's my favorite. Oh, I love them all the same, but the one I'm with is my favorite. That's my favorite. I know Earl says, I've always been your favorite and all that stuff. But that's what it says right there. I'm the seed that the world says I'm the seed that the Lord's blessed. I want the world to see His kiss on my life. I want them to see His kiss on my family. I want them to see His kiss on everything that I put my hand to. And it's not because of I'm great, it's because of His kisses on me. His kisses on you. Alright, we're closing up with this. I had no intention of preaching this, but it's just too good to read alone. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, listen to this, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth these things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Where does that come from? The righteousness and praise? From the wells of our lives. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3, from the wells of our lives, from the wells of our lives. He will make those withdrawals. He will pull that out. Then He will pour it out into the earth. And as He pours it out in the earth, you know what He's pulling out? Righteousness and praise. Righteousness and praise. Righteousness and praise. Righteousness and praise. That's my prophetic declaration over them. That's my prophetic declaration over you. And the reason I can say that is because the Lord prophesied it over us way before I did. That's His prophetic declaration over your life, Jamie White. We wonder, man, where do I fit in? This and all just the whole big scheme of things. That right there, that's it, Isaiah 61. Hang your hat on that. That's who He says you are. The song that we're probably about to sing again, Who You Say That I Am, that is who He says that you are. Go, everybody, y'all go home in y'all's quiet time this week on the back porch or in your bedroom or wherever, and y'all reread Isaiah 61. You reread it and you let it get in your heart. You let it get in your heart because that's what He says about you. That's His thoughts towards you. That's His design for you. That's His intention for you. And nothing can separate us from that. Nothing can separate us from His heart for that. Whew. All right, y'all ready to baptize some children? Yeah, that's why you came. Y'all didn't come to hear me preach. All right. We're going to ask all the kids that are getting baptized, the guys, Judah and Zeelan, if y'all want to go right over here in this side room, I'll join y'all in a second. The girls. All right. Amen. Yes. Yeah, somebody going in with Tiff, you going in with the girls, Leah? I didn't know if y'all were just dumping them or I got it. All right, cool. Worship team, y'all want to come on up? And y'all were up, man. Y'all jump up there. You want to celebrate for just a second longer while they get society place on you? What have you been believing about yourself in your heart? What have you been believing about your family, your children? Are you enduring? Are you believing for more? Just trying to make it, or are you believing for more? Man, I want to encourage you. If you came for the baptism, y'all come on down and get where you can see. Kids, if y'all want to come down here, y'all can get right down here on front. I absolutely love that. All the kids, y'all come down here and just kind of, yep, y'all can get right here. When we get through the baptism, we're going to pray over Grant. He is leaving this afternoon to head back to the Middle East. And so I just want us to pray over him. And just release those wells that are within us. I want us to release it into his life. Amen. God, Father God, just take a big bucket and dump it and just pour it on his head. That's my prayer this morning. All right. Go ahead, worship team. Stand up. Move down front. Whatever you want to. Can be seated. Today's extremely personal for me because two of my grandchildren are getting baptized today, and one of my spiritual grandchildren's getting baptized today. And today I stand in this baptismal pool, not as Pastor Sid, but as Poppy. Because that's how Isabel knows me, as Poppy. And so I am so thrilled that Kingdom looks like family. They came to Jesus and they said, "Your mother and your brothers are outside and they're wanting a word with you." And he said, who is my mother and my brothers?" And he looked around and all of the people that were surrounding him with Kingdom life, he said, "This is my family." His mother obviously was part of the Kingdom family, and his brothers after the resurrection became part of the Kingdom family. But he said, "This is what family looks like, and this is what family does." So I come today and I declare all of these things over these kids as they come in and we baptize them. And I'm going to ask Nick. Nick's going to baptize Judah this morning. And very, very proud of Nick. Has nothing to do with coaching abilities or work ethic or anything like that. I believe that Nick strives to be... Y'all come on in, get in here. I believe Nick strives to be a Kingdom man. I've known Nick a long time. I know Nick's not perfect. But I believe Nick's heart is pure in the fact that he wants to be a Kingdom man. And that's the greatest hunger and desire that we can ever have, is to be one with our Father and be in proper alignment with Him so that we can release Kingdom into this earth. And so I'm going to give Nick the mic and let him just share as he wants, and then let him baptize his son, Judah.
I just wanted to share really quick today. I really struggled on how to do some things this week, but you know, Sid has covered a lot of this. A lot of this is generational for me. About 22 years ago, I got saved in that altar right down there, and then about 20 years ago, I got baptized in the same baptismal pool by my spiritual father. And we've had a lot of just God has absolutely blessed us in ways that obviously we don't deserve, but He's continued to promote us in the Kingdom. And just I never would have thought that we would have had the opportunity that we had last about 2 weeks ago, when he walks into my bedroom and says, "Dad, I want to get saved. This is I need the quick version, and let's make it happen." And that's what he said. I mean, that's a quote. That's what he said. And so I guess today, to quote my spiritual father and my heavenly father, "This is my beloved son, in who I am well pleased." very, very, very pleased. Just like every other 9-year-old, he's not perfect, but you know, my heart is full. Heart's full. That's the same.
Man, y'all just extend your hands, body. Father, I lift up Judah today, and I celebrate him. I celebrate his life and what it is to be. I celebrate who you say that he is. And I stand and declare that no labels that society tries to place on him will stick. That he will not have ears to hear those things, but he'll only have ears to hear the voice of the Father. He'll only hear the declarations of his mother and the declarations of Nick. The declarations of spiritual family that's around him. That says that you're beloved and you're chosen and you're excellent and you're glorious. That you are the head. And that you will be exalted and you will release kingdom into this earth. And you will help redeem this planet. And God, I pray that he would just have the excellent spirit about him. God, that he would just pursue everything that he pursues in passion. And I pray that the things of you will be what catches his gaze and ultimately catch his heart. Let him fall madly in love with you. Let him fall madly in love with life. And I pray that he would be deep and not necessarily wide. I don't pray that he'd be a Renaissance man. I pray he'd be a kingdom man and all that entails. I just pray blessings, life, abundance. I pray strength and courage. Let him be strong and courageous, Father. Let him be strong and courageous. Lord, it's in Jesus' name I ask these things. In his name, we make these declarations. Amen.
Upon your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother Judah, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah. Who's first? Girls? Sydney, Hannah? Come on out here, sweetheart. Guess who my favorite is? Sydney, Hannah. She has got an extremely kind heart. And she's a minister. And I think God's going to use that big time. I think her greatest attribute, she's going to be an amazing mom. And I just feel that. I know that, Linda. And the things that she commits to, she's going to give her whole heart to it. And that's my prayer of you, Sydney Hannah. That the things that are worth you doing, that let them be worth giving your whole heart to. And if it's not worth giving your whole heart to it, then it's not worth you giving any of it to it. So I just declare that she'd be a whole heart girl. Y'all just extend your hands as we pray over her. Whew. Man. Lori, come here. You lead us in prayer over her. Well, you ain't got to get in, but if you want to, okay. I was talking about whole heart. I thought she's going all in on this.
Father, we just thank you for Sydney Hannah. I pray you'd always keep her heart soft and kind as she is today. that she would always turn to you in every aspect of her life, Father, that she would seek your face first and foremost, and all the years of her life will be blessed because of that, Father. We just lift her up to you right now. We thank you that she has asked you into her heart. She commits her life to following you today, Father. We just sing rejoicing and praising over this moment. Thank you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You ready, sweetheart? You gonna hold your nose? Okay. Amen. Upon your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister Sydney Hannah, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Y'all, this is what we pray over our kids. That our children would come to know the Lord the first time that the Lord deals with them. And it's not a lifetime of running from God and eventually coming to Him, but they would know Him in a tender place as soon as He deals with their hearts. And so I'm ecstatic about young children coming to the Lord and being baptized in Him. And they'll have many, many baptisms down the road, subsequent baptisms, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and just so many different things. But today we celebrate this this new beginning and this new start in them. Amen. Zealand, guess who my favorite is right now? You are, buddy. Yeah, you are. You are. Whew. Oh, man. Brett, you want to pray over your son?
God, we come first and foremost and just give you thanks today, God, for your awesomeness, Lord. You're good to us. You're good to these people, God. You're good to Zealand, and we thank you for his recognition early in age, God. Lord, we dare to believe the crazy over his life. As people would come, the world would come, the enemy would come and say that he's too young and he's going to be tempted and he's going to be this and that. God, we declare today the crazy, that he would follow you for all the days of his life, that he is the first and not the last. Lord, we thank you and we give you all the glory and honor, God. We pray that he would be a mighty warrior in you, God, that he would be sensitive in himself, that he would believe in the mighty. Lord, we pray that every foot and every ground that he touches, that would bring glory to your name, God. Lord, he is powerful, he's mighty, and he's a son of yours. We give you all the glory and honor and praise in today. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ain't nothing like the blessing of a father.
Well, I'm professing a faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Baptize you, my brother Zealand, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Come on, Isabel. Isabel, guess who my favorite is right now? You are. See, the beautiful thing, here, look at me when I tell you this. The beautiful thing about the Father, our Heavenly Father, and the spiritual earthly fathers that God's given us is there's room for everybody. There's room for everybody. And see, when you've got stuff going on in your life and you pray to Jesus, there, He hears Isabel and there's room for you. And it's not that he's too busy with all these other people. He stops and he hears your prayers. And that's the beauty of our God and how big our God is that at that moment you're his favorite. And so just know that. Know that. And just, man, let the weight of that, let that just rest on you. And you can carry that to the bank. Okay, I know you don't understand that term, but you can carry that to the bank. That's currency. That's currency right there. Amen. Yeah. Man, y'all ready to pray over her? Tiff, you want to pray the blessing of a mother over her?
Father, I just want to soak in this moment that you have predestined for us to experience today, and I thank you that we are here and that we celebrate Isabel. Lord, you have put inside of her such a sweet spirit. She is so serving and helpful to others, Lord, and that would guide her, Father. She looks for those that she can serve. She looks for those that are in need and that she can help. And I pray that that will develop throughout her life and that we will see her serving the nations. We will see her serving our community and far beyond what we could ever dream of, Lord, that you would guide her, that you would direct her. Father, let her be so powerful. Let us pave the way for her that she has nothing that she feels like she can't accomplish because she knows who she is. Father, I bless her as a mother. I give her permission to change this world. I give her permission to be everything you created in her. And I pray that you will send her out a mighty warrior, meek, and kind, but so powerful that the gates of hell cannot prevail. Bless her in everything that she does, and let her pave the way for those coming after her. We give her permission today to do that. We give her permission today to change the world. In your name, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Isabel, if you'll turn this way.
Faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister Isabel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. Was that not sweet? Awesome. All right, here's what I want us to do. Grant, where's Grant at? Come on up here. We're gonna pray over you right here, okay? Come on up. Stephen, Terry, all you guys. Come on up. Mom, Granny.
Yes, sir. You know, seeing these baptisms puts me in mind of a similar baptism that took place almost 2.5 decades ago. And that was mine. Was this man right here. It's the one that dunked me in the water when I was a young man. A lot of you halfway believe in the back of your minds that these kids, when they get into their teenage years, will get rebellious, they'll fall away, and then maybe come back to faith. But just because that was your story doesn't mean it has to be their story. Because this isn't just family, this is kingdom family. Even when I was 5 years old, I had fruit in my life, and that fruit continued to bear. I never fell away. And now, with these kids, even though young as they are, in the blink of an eye, they'll be in their 20s, and they'll be tearing up the kingdom of darkness all across the face of the earth. So I want to set your expectations high and set your faith for the heavens.
I love what Brett said when he was praying. He said, let's believe crazy. Let's believe crazy things. Let's believe crazy. Let's stand to our feet. You guys come on around right here. Lori, you coming around. Leah, come on around. Errol. Rhett, all y'all come on up. Man, church body, y'all just come on up. Rhett, you and Beth, y'all come on up. Everybody, y'all come on. Everybody just press in around the stage. Come on. It doesn't bite up here, I promise. Come on in, church family. Man, let's just lay hands. Stephen, I'm going to lay hands on your back, and you just grant back up enough where you can, Stephen, get hands on you. You got it? Man, everybody come on up. Just come on up, body. Yeah, come on up here. Y'all pile on. Let's get a stage full. Stage four, come on up. Press in, buddy. Come on. Come on. Y'all, come on. Come on. Come on, man. We want to lay hands on. There's connectivity. We're talking about connectivity right here. Yeah, come on around here, Cindy Hardy. Yeah. Are we good? We good, Scotty? I can't say. We good? Yeah. All right. Good, good, good. Everybody ready? Father, we just lift up Grant to you. As a son, he goes forth. As a physical son, as a spiritual son, as a son of the house, as a son of Yahweh, a kingdom son, he goes forth. And we declare that everywhere that his foot treads, that everything he comes in contact will know that it's been in the presence of Yahweh. That the people will know him because they'll see God's kiss on his life. And it may look like peace. It may look like hope. It may look like courage. It may look like passion. But they're going to see God's kiss on his life. We declare Isaiah 61 over him. Not just these kids that were baptized today, but we declare Isaiah 61 on him. And Lord, I pray that the word says that you will direct our labors. You'll direct our path. It says the steps of a righteous man are directed by God. And Lord, I pray that he would hear and know your voice concerning the steps that he's taking today, tomorrow, next month, next year. And I pray that he would have ears that'll hear you and a heart that says yes. And I just pray blessings over him. I pray protection over him. Give him safe travels. And when his foot hits foreign soil, they would know that a kingdom man is among them. They would know that a kingdom man is. I pray that even the land will know that a kingdom man is walking on it. Let him walk in that anointing. Let him walk in that presence. I pray he would find great favor. Just bless everything that he does there. Bless his affairs here. And God, just stir and just continue to move in his life. We celebrate him. We celebrate what you're doing in him. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And in his name we place all of our hope today. Amen and amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Come on. Hey, just a couple announcements, guys. 2 weeks from today is Family Day. Everybody remember that? 2 weeks from today is Family Day. And then we've got men's meeting. Everybody listen to this, important. What's the date on men's meeting, Errol? 25th? September 25th, men's meeting. Chris Roberts is going to be speaking at the men's meeting. So we're real excited. If you guys don't know Chris, you're going to be blessed by him. But those of you do, be great having Chris with us. So remember that coming up on the 25th. Y'all have an awesome week, and we'll see you guys Wednesday night.